好，各位菩萨早安，阿弥陀佛。
Good morning, everyone.
有没有是上个礼拜没有来，这一次才来的？请举手。
So please raise your hand if you didn't attend the first talk.
OK, 好，谢谢。我们上个礼拜还没看到牛，所以没关系哈。如果上，对，上一次，我们还没有找到牛，所以还没关系哈。
That's quite okay because、last talk we haven't seen the ox yet.
好，我们今天会看到牛了。好。
And today, today's talk we're going to see the ox.
不过在开始之前还是会先把上一次我们讲了什么内容再跟大家简单的做介绍，所以如果今天大家是第一次来也没有关系齁。
So before we get into today's talk, we will do a brief review for what we've talked in the first talk. So if you missed the first one, no need to worry.
石牛图在中国禅宗来讲，它最早是从唐朝开始。在一开始的时候呢，它只有偈颂，所谓偈颂就是只有诗歌而已，就短短的偈子，类似诗这样子，诗歌的形态。唐朝之后一直到宋朝开始慢慢。主要是两位禅师很有名的，一位是我们这次所选的，霍安禅师的，另外一位是普明禅师的，是这两位禅师，他们后来是在我们中国来说流传比较广的。然后这次选的是霍安禅师的，会选他的原因是，师父曾经。早期在美国这边讲过一次，在缅因州那时候是在带禅期的时候花了三天讲的。会选这个原因是因为石牛图在中国主要是用普明禅师的齁。不过后来在明朝的时候石牛图的偈颂传到日本去。传到去日本去的时候呢，选用的在日本选用的是霍安禅师的，后来日本禅传到美国来，铃木大佐他把它翻成英文，所以在美国流传的版本是霍安禅师的，因此师父就选用霍安禅师的版本来作为分享。那我这一次的分享就是把当时师父在禅期当中跟大众开示的内容，来跟大家做分享。
So, a brief review of what we talked in the last talk about the history of the 10 ox herding picture. So, the 10 ox herding pictures diagram started in Tang Dynasty. Well,In Tang Dynasty, there are only verses, there are only poems, there's no pictures yet. When it further developed in Song Dynasty, there are two famous masters talked about 10 ox herding pictures. One is called Master Kuo An, the other one is Master Pu Ming. So there are two popular versions in Song Dynasty. And in China,Master Pu Ming's version is more popular, has been more popular. But when the 10 ox herding pictures was transmitted to Japan, it was Master Kuo An's version transmitted to Japan. So a Japanese Zen has been using Master Kuo An's version. And when Japanese masters introduced the 10 ox herding pictures into the Western world,they still carry the Master Kuo An's version. So when Shifu was introducing the 10 ox herding pictures, Shifu also used Master Kuo An's version. And Shifu actually gave a series talks on 10 ox herding pictures when he was leading a retreat in Maine.
Um, 我们上一拜也提到，在经典当中，佛陀提到一些关于牛的故事哈。佛陀讲经说法的时候，经常用譬喻提，所以譬喻提就是会举一些故事。那这些故事呢，它是贴近当时印度人的生活。会贴近生活的原因是，这些都跟我们息息相关。这些息息相关的东西呢，或是我们生活的会发生的事情啊，其实就因为它是跟我们息息相关啊，在我们修行上面，我们或许可以从中有所体验啊。因此佛陀他就会举一些例子，我们等一下会跟大家介绍其中几个例子。
So in last talk, we mentioned that Buddha actually will often use stories or metaphors that are close to our lives because they are so close to our lives, so we may be able to experience or understand what Buddha is trying to preach.
我们看到第一个是佛陀在《真阿含经》里头，他曾经有提到《真含经》的放牛品，提到牧童，就是负责放牛的人，他需要观察从牛脂，就是牛的表面，所以表面就是它皮毛啊，是不是光泽，是不是鲜彩的啊，有没有生病，还有带去牧牛的这个地方安不安全，牛会不会陷到泥沼当中，或者是沿途当中有哪些食物是它可以吃的。由这十一个去观察牛只的本身或者是环境，对应到我们自己本身我们所处的环境，那这是第一个真阿含经所讲的。
So in one of the Hinayana classics Ekatara Agama Sutra, Buddha mentioned there were 11 ways to herding the ox. The ox herder need to observe the skin of the ox and need to observe the environment of the ox, environment of the field that where he's leading the ox to, whether it's a safe place or not. This corresponds to our practice, what we need to pay attention to.
而在佛遗教经里头也提到，提到一个牧牛的人呢，他要小心看着牛，不要让这头牛呢走去别人家的田去吃他们的稻草或是作物啊。这个提醒着我们呢，是像我们在修行的过程当中，我们要时时警惕自己。这警惕自己什么呢？他的意思是说，我们的五根，也就是我们的眼、耳、鼻、舌、身，对到五尘、外境、五境的时候呢，不要受他的诱惑影响，不要被环境所诱惑影响，把我们的心时时的系在方法上面。
And also in the sutra on the Buddha's bequested teaching, it also mentioned that.The ox herder need to be careful not to allow the ox to run loose and trample others' grains or crops fields. And here it corresponds to our practice that we need to pay attention or refrain our five roots, which are referred to eyes, ear, nose, tongue, and body. And when those fiveOur five sense organs contact the outside environment, we need to be observant and not let those five dust affect us.
因此，一位好的牧牛人，他要具备什么条件呢？第一个是要能够专心、坚持不懈的心。 第二个是当偏离正道，就是我们提到当牛如果走偏的时候，也就是失去专注力的时候，要怎么样子再把牛拉回来，他需要知道这样子的，也就要具备这样的条件。在偏离正道的时候呢，也就是当牛可能一直受环境影响，反反复复的，我们的修行过程当中也是一样，可能一直被外境干扰，被外面的环境诱惑着干扰着。我们发现了呢，不要替自己起懊悔心，会怎么觉得我们修行怎么这么久了，怎么还会受到外面环境干扰？不要这种对自己，不要这种维系的这种，我们讲它是类似嗔心的，这种嗔心是什么呢？是我们怎么会觉得，哎，我怎么还这样子？有一种那种讨厌的感觉，不喜欢的感觉，就对我们自己本身，我们不要升起这样的心。那并不代表说我们不去改过，如果是犯错的话不去改过，而是我们知道了，发现了，其实就是修行的开始。我们提醒了自己，再回到方法上就好。那一份对于自己所起的嗔心的部分呢，我们就不要让它升起来。我们是提醒了自己，知道哎，有这样子的问题存在，那我们还是回到方法上就好，就只是让念头停在这边就好。
So a good ox herder first needs to be very patient and very focused and persistent. When the ox goes astray, it's like our minds. We need constantly pull it back to our method. And when we are doing that, we need to pay attention not to give rise to the thoughts of feeling frustration or a feeling a little bit subtle form of aversion, which is like a dislike, because the practitioner might be blame himself, saying, why this do happen to me? I'm already practicing very hard. And do not give rise to that type of thoughts. Of course, that doesn't mean you do not pull yourself back to the method. You do not correct what you have been gone astray. But just gently return to the method is good enough. We just keep reminding ourselves when we notice that our mind go astray, just constantly keep pulling the back.
所以我们经常讲，修行的目的就是在修行过程的本身。
That's why we always say, the goal of practice actually is also is in the process itself.
好，那我们现在来看死牛图的前两个，我们大致的跟大家介绍一下哈。
So now we will review the first two pictures of the ten ox herding pictures.
第一个图是见牛，不是，第一个图是
寻牛
、这个图它讲的是 有一个人，他听到说有开悟这件事情，也就是听到修行的方法这件事情可以让我们达到开悟的目的，他就发起了好药心，也想要跟着修行。可是他在修行过程当中，他发现到什么呢？发现到本来还没修行的时候，好像我们没什么问题，没什么妄念的感觉。可是一开始修行之后呢，怎么满脑子都是妄念就出现了。这就像我们有时候在没修行之前呢，可能几年前跟人吵架，而且是很小事情，我们这时候都会想起来，而且想起来有时候还会怎么样呢？让他继续在 演变下去。什么叫演变下去呢？我们可能想着，那个人那时候跟我说一句话，我们吵架可能当时吵输了，我们有时候会在这时候突然想到，想到什么呢？哎，忽然灵光乍现，哎，我那时候如果怎么回他，我就吵赢了。好、哦，那、或许有时候是昨天发生的，我们可能今天很生气，想着说，对吼、哦，我要是那时候讲这句话就可以吵赢了，我今天一定要去跟他怎样，再去跟他理论，对不对？我们有理要跟去俱争啊。那、可能今天我们一进办公室看到，或是我们今天遇到，就故意要去找那个人跟他吵，不是跟他吵，是要我们是要怎样争我们的理嘛？哈，我们就特地去找他，结果特地找他，对方看到我们怎么样？哦，昨天那件事哦，很抱歉，这是我们还吵下去吗？结果我们让自己怎样，整个晚上纠结在什么那种很不高兴、很不舒服的状况底下，即使我们当下可能会觉得，对哦，我这样吵都吵赢了，还在那边洋洋得意的时候，可是那种内心是什么？还是一种那种愤怒的心在里头。啊，我们在没修行的时候可能不会察觉，因为我们整天都在什么样，无时无刻都让自己在这些念头里头怎样一直纠结着，可能一下想到这件事情，一下想到这件事情，整天就忙在这些里头，没办法发觉到。可是当我们一开始修行之后，哎，这些很细微的念头慢慢浮现。然后等一下跟大家举一个例子。
So the first picture describes the situation that there's the practitioner heard that there's a such destination called enlightenment, and there's a method to achieve that goal. So he's quite interested in finding that enlightenment. So he started to apply method and trying to look for the destination. And when he started practice, he realized he started to have more vexations than before. So that's quite strange. For example, he might remember what happened a few years ago. For example, he might went into a fight with someone, and he remembered if he argued this way, he might win the fight. A lot of things will come back to his mind. But at that time, he still feels that he needs to argue. If he argue in a certain way, he may win the argument. So the next day he might go to that person and want to use that argument. But what happened is that person might all say, oh, about that thing, I'm really sorry. And at that time, how do you feel? You may feel, I won't try the other way to argue, but that person just apologized. So you may have nothing to say, but you still don't feel happy. You feel upset. And unsettled, because when you think of a good arguments, you're still calculating winning and losing, and there's still subtle anger in that. But when you don't practice, when you don't start practice, you don't realize you have all these wandering thoughts, because you're completely trapped, swamped in your wandering thoughts.
So we 上个礼拜跟大家上一次跟大家举例子是说。我们修行啊，本来像什么呢？像一杯玻璃里头装着水，它是干净的。因为我们五根对五尘、哦、产生了一些妄想杂念，像什么呢？像不断的往里头丢进小石头啊，或是一些泥土、沙子、杂质。啊，我们又在里头怎样？一直搅拌它，搅拌它，所以。当我们在这搅拌过程当中，我们整个身心是在一个比较混乱的过程当中，所以不会察觉到。那当我们开始修行的时候呢，我们把心静下来，这时候我们可能本来不察觉里头是一个很脏的过程，因为我们已经在里头了，而且不断在里头就这样生活着。这时候比较重的开始比较粗的，会什么先往下沉？ 他种的是石头嘛，这些小石头，慢慢的沙子，慢慢才是这些杂质，所以我们才发觉到，哦，原来我们日常生活当中，我们无时无刻都在起心动念着，而且这些起心动念是跟我们的习气有相关系的，那这些就是所谓的烦恼。
And that's why I give an analogy last time. It's just like originally our mind is like a clear water in a glass, which is very clear. But when our five sense organs contact the outside environment, give rise to five dusts, it's just like we're constantly throwing stones, pebbles, sand into a clean water. And keep disturbing the water, so you don't really see the mud. Until you start practice, the heavy stones will settle down to the bottom of the glass first, and then you begin to realize those heavy stones, your heavy vexations, and then followed by subtle thoughts. That's why when you start practice, the heavy thoughts will actually arise and then settled.
好，第二章是见机，见机就是看到牛的脚印了。这时候修行呢，是我们第一章是听到所有修行的方法，我们有好药之心。那第二见机是说，哎，我们跟随到一位好的老师了。好，第一点，第二点是我们听着老师所讲的，哎，自己从经典当中或是教典当中。随着这教养当中的方法，我们开始用功，所以慢慢的看到了我们在方法上的体验之后，有了一些体验了。那这是第二张图。那这个里头呢，我们开始，而且我们建立起来，因为我们一些体验，所以我们的信心开始建立起来。所以这是在见机里，见机就是看到牛角机，让我们知道。我如果这样子修行的话，好，一定会怎么样？看到牛，所以第三张图呢，就是见牛。那这个跟随大善知识一个很重要的就是具备什么？具备正确的知见，还有正确的修行方法。这是在第二个见机里头告诉我们的。
So the second picture, seeing the choices of ox, describes the situation that the practitioner has already started practice and actually found a good teacher, and he used the teachings from the good teacher and the classic tests to work hard and to make efforts, and eventually he has some good experience.So he further developed the faith in the method and in the teacher, and he believes if he follows the method, he will be able to see the ox eventually, which described in the third picture. So the second picture emphasized on the correct view and the importance of a good method to practice.
而这个时候呢，我们的杂念妄想它还是会断断续续的出现，那就是在我们用功的过程当中呢，我们这时候还是会发觉我们会有妄念在，而这时候如果比较专心用功的时候，我们会发现什么呢？方法妄念两个会同时怎样并行着，好，或是断断续续的，就是我们在用功过程当中，我们有时候会发现，虽然我们在用功，可是念头也在那边持续的出现。只要我们不理它的时候呢，其实心是怎样知道，可是不会再受到什么情绪上的波动。好，所以这时候妄念还是会在，只是看我们自己本身能不能够不受它影响。
So at that stage, at the stage of the second picture, the practitioner still has vexations and the wandering thoughts, and they are actually still there even when the practitioner is applying the method. So he will notice when he's using the method, he's clearly aware of all the underlying vexations or wandering thoughts going on at the same time. But the difference is, the key point is he is aware of all ongoing thoughts, but he can be not affected by those wandering thoughts.
第三张图是见牛，哦，就是我们循着牛的脚迹往下找，诶，看到牛了。那颂文是什么呢？我们先讲颂文。黄鹂枝上一声声，日暖风和柳岸柳青，咫尺更无回避处，声声头角化难成。
So, in the third picture, the practitioner, the ox herder, finally, got a glimpse of the ox. And we will read the verses first. The verses goes, yonder perching on a branch of nightingale sings cheerfully. The sun is warm. The soothing breeze blows through the willows green on the bank. The ox is there all by herself. Nowhere is there room to hide her. The splendid head decorated with stately horns. What painter can reproduce her?
我们从图里面可以看到，在树后面，就是这个人，他这位牧牛人，也就是修行者，他循着牛的脚迹，找下去，诶，他忽然看到牛了，在一棵树后面，不过他只露出什么，后面 下半身，牛的屁股，他看到了。
So in this picture, the ox herder followed the traces of the ox in the previous, described in the previous picture, and finally he got a glimpse of the ox tail sticking out from behind a tree.
那这是说什么呢？这时候这个修行者他老实的照着老师所教的方法用功。有时候我们讲说第二张图是信心建立，也相信着经教里头所讲的他一定能够达成，相信自己一定能够达成。所以这时候呢，因为他很专心，所以他烦恼在哪时候出现呢？可能偶尔路边可能有一些沿途的风光是他没看过的，那让他分心了，这时候他才会有烦恼现前的过程。那这时候他已经去体会到什么？开悟见性是什么一回事？他已经有第一次的体验了。
So in the third picture describe a state or a condition of the mind that the practitioner truthfully stick to the method and the teachings.And practice hard, he already had the first encounter of seeing the nature. So, although he still has vexations or wandering thoughts, but unless it's something novel that really appealing to him, he usually wouldn't affected by those anymore.
所以，一个修行者到这边的过程当中，只要愿意相信老师的方法。到这时候他已经能够达到第一次的体验，哦，那其实师父讲说这样子的体验，如果我们愿意相信老师所教的方法，那他其实可以很快有所体验，就是比较虔诚的这种所谓身心统一的这种现象出现。那不过它不代表什么，因为这只是修行过程当中的一个体验，它就是一个体验而已。如果我们把它当作是全部修行的全部，就我们讲目的，我们相当开悟，我们如果就是把它当作是全部的话，那这时候反而是什么？反而因为会被这么一个的体验给困扰住，好，也就是我们讲的就是得少怎样为多为主，哦，
So from the beginning, seeking the ox to here, getting a glimpse of the ox, Shifu actually mentioned it wouldn't be that hard for people to have such first-time experience of the unifying body and the mind if the practitioner truly has faith in the teacher and the method and use the method truthfully and constantly. But one shouldn't put too much emphasis on such experience or rely on too much on such one-time experience, because this is not the entire practice. And if one started attached to such experience, it itself will become a hindrance.
在第四章是得鸟，也就是得到这头鸟，我们先念颂文。
So the fourth picture is getting hold of the ox. The verses goes, with the energy of his whole soul, he has at last taken hold of the ox. But how wild her will, ungovernable her power, at times she struts up a plateau. When now she is lost in a misty, impenetrable mountain pass.
颂文讲的是竭尽神通获得取，心强力壮足难除，有时禅到高云上，又入烟云 深处居。那这个讲的是什么呢？这告诉我们，就是当我们在精进用功之后，我们已经开始能够调伏烦恼了，也就是我们真正得到一个入处，所以得到入处是我们已经真正懂得怎么修行了。所以懂修行是这时候才是悟后修行才真正的开始。那悟后修行要怎么修行呢？就是我们所讲的保任。所以保任是呢，保持我们这个圣胎，就开我们师父讲说这叫一个圣胎，好，它是继续要往什么呢？往成佛，最后我们最终目的去的一个过程，好，也就是要保养这个圣胎，就要滋长它、滋养它，就像我们照顾什么、照顾小 baby 一样，所以它叫一个圣胎哈，就一个像一个胎儿一样，我们要照顾它。那这时候呢，我们还会怎么样子呢？我们其实还会受到我们自己这种本身比较维系的烦恼。那这维系烦恼是来自于什么呢？来自于我们过去累生累劫的习气，好。那这个习气它哪时候现前呢？当外境的诱惑两个同时具备的时候，这习气本来是潜伏着，可能我们平常不会察觉到，而是当外境现前的时候，跟我们这个习气相应，跟我们这个习气相应的时候，它才现前起来。
So the verses and the picture, the fourth picture describesthe situation that the practitioner, after gotten a glimpse of the ox, really understand how to practice and practice hard. So at this stage, at the fourth stage, he already getting a hold of the ox, and at that time the task is to sustain this mental state, which is described as taking care of a holy fetus, as if this mental state is like a baby, a fetus that the practitioner needs to take care of. And at that time, the practitioner still will have subtle vexations or predisposition defilements arises from time to time when he encounters outside environment.
我们跟大家讲一个故事，在佛陀时代有一位尊者，他已经开悟了。他有一天呢，遇到一位应该是河神， 有点记不太清楚是哪一个，但是河神齁、哦、啊，他叫这个河神呢，因为过去世的时候，过去世这位修行者啊，他是一个很有钱的人家，他家中有非常多的可以照顾的这些佣人，那有位佣人呢，他就叫他叫什么呢，叫小杯小杯。那这个小杯他也因为主人的关系，他们都有修行，那过去都有在修行，所以他这一次他转身为什么，为河神啊。不过这位修行者因为过去都习惯叫他小杯，改不过来，所以他每次这个修行者出去的时候会经过这条河，只要看到河神就会叫小杯小杯小杯。那这小杯就不服气啊，他说我也修行，虽然我不像尊者你这么修行的这么得力，这一生可以怎样，是当一位出家众、哦、可以来修行，而且也正果了，但是至少我也有修行，而现在是什么，也是什么，也是有个河神啊，你应该尊重我，你不能这样子。所以他就跑去跟什么佛陀告状，那佛陀就把这他弟子叫来，他就跟这弟子讲说，把这个过程讲给这个他的弟子听，他弟子听完之后就佛陀要跟他说，那你要跟他道歉啊。他弟子说就说好，这尊者说好，道歉说要怎么讲呢，小杯小杯对不起本来他改的，可是他改不过来，这是什么，这是他的习气、哦、所以其实我们看到，其实一个阿罗汉他已经证果了，但是这种什么比较细微的这种习气还会在，而且跟外境怎样一接触的时候还是会产生的。
So I'll tell you a story that happened、at Buddha's time. There was an arhat that needs to cross river, and when he crossed the river, he will encounter the god of the river. So they two actually had a relationship in previous lifetime. So that arhat actually in previous lifetime was born in as a rich person, and the god of the river actually was his servant with the nickname Xiaobei. So in this lifetime, because of the previous relationship, the arhat would still call the now the god of the river still calling him Xiaobei, and they are both practitioners in previous lifetime. That's why they can, in this lifetime, one can be arhat, the other can be the god of the river. But in this lifetime, the god of the river, which was previously the servant, was not happy because he felt like, well, although you arhat are great practitioner, you achieved arhatship, but I'm not that bad either. Right now I'm not a servant anymore. This lifetime I already become the god of the river. You should at least show some respect. You shouldn't call me my previous life's nickname anymore. So the god of the river complained to Buddha, and Buddha listened and called the arhat and saying, you should do that anymore, and you should apologize. So the arhat said, okay, I'll apologize. And the arhat goes to the river, and you know what he said? He's still calling the god of river Xiaobei and saying, I'm sorry, Xiaobei. So he couldn't change because he's still affected by the subtle predisposition from his previous lifetimes.
So we can see this picture.这个牧童就是修行者，他虽然得到这头牛了，可是他还要怎么样，要能够调伏他，教育他，在学习怎么教育他、哦、那这就告诉我们怎么日常生活当中应该怎么用功。也是我们要讲到宝刃的部分、哦啊、宝刃呢其实是悟后开始真正修行，那我们在一开始修行的时候呢，是要把我们散乱的心能够集中起来，集中起来呢，随时随地能够怎样，让我们的心不受着外境的影响，也就是能够指挥着我们自己的心，指挥着我们自己的心，而且持续用功，让我们的心达到怎样统一，而且是持续的统一的状况，也就是我们刚提到，不要让自己的心有一丝丝的这种懈怠出现，好、哦，有一个不小心 因为环境的影响，哦，就让我们的烦恼在现前。
So here, in the stage of the fourth picture, although the ox herd already gotten hold of the ox, he still needs to be very careful and practice very hard, because this is actually when the practice, the true practice starts, the true practice after enlightenment, after seeing the nature. So how should one practice after seeing nature, get a glimpse of the nature? First, he should try to gather or focus all the scattered mind and try to maintain in the unifying state of mind continuously and do not lax in that stage.
所以保证呢，就是当我们在见性之后，我们的修行在日常生活当中要是怎么运用呢？它就像我们在土里面种下种子之后，它发芽了，我们如果给它适当的阳光、充足的水分，温度调节都合适，就是让这个种子我们懂得在怎么样子的环，这个种子是适合怎么样子的土壤啊，怎样的气候环境，它可以发芽长大，我们细心的去照顾它，让它能够开花结果的一个过程，它就像宝刃一样，我们要善于去认识环境，也就是我们一开始讲到前面《正义阿含经》的木牛瓶有11种方法，这时候其实我们同样的也是，而是转移到我们日常生活当中，我们怎么去运用？如果一般我们如果以禅宗两个方法，一个是话头，一个默照来看的话，当见性的人用话头的人呢，他这时候是在日常生活当中，他是在提话头，也就是让自己时时刻刻都提着的话头，不是让自己的心散掉、失去正念，或是产生懈怠，也就是时时刻刻的提着怎样正念。好，这个话头就是我们的正念。
So, after one has seen the nature, how one should practice in daily life? Well, it's just like planting. After you plant a seed, you need to take great care. You need to give it the proper sunlight, proper water, and proper nutrition, let it grow and get to blossom and the fruitation stage. So as a practitioner, you should be mindful all the time and not let your mind scattered, and constantly pick up the method. And if you use the 话头 method, and you should pick up the 话头, that's the right mindset. The right mindset is stick with 话头。
另外一个默照方法，它怎么用功呢？默照是要保持清楚觉照。保持清楚觉照的时候呢，就是在我们日常生活当中，心不妄动。心不妄动呢，就是处理事情是条理分明。面对环境的时候，不起执着，不起执着。面对人的时候，就跟人相处、自然接触的时候呢，常生慈悲心，常常发起慈悲心。
And if you use a silent illumination as a method, you should try to maintain a clear, illuminating, mindful mindset. And don't give rise to vexations, or don't affected by outside environment. And do not attach to the outside environment. And when you deal with, things, just do it in an organized way. And when you deal with people, just give rise to a compassionate mindset.
所以师父就常常鼓励大家，说你家有事，他家有事，就我家没有事。这前半段哈，那这个前半段我们看起来它好像是一个怎样，好像是跟人不互动，因为我们在看着，哈哈，我家没有事，就你家有事哈。可是师父讲说，当一个没有事可以做的人的时候，他这时候要去帮忙其他的人完成什么未完成的事，那这个事是什么呢？就是这个事所谓就是 被烦恼所执着着，被烦恼所执着着，所以才会讲说，在我们平常所谓没事是前半段，我们的心不受怎样环境所影响。可是呢，我们除了不受环境影响，自己不起执着心之外，我们对其他人要起，刚刚讲说要起慈悲心。所以，当一个无事可做的人，就是自己不会受到影响的人呢，他要去帮助其他人也修行。所以这是悟后保证的方法。那即使是提话头的人也是一样，也是一样齁。他自己保持在正念上，保持在正念上的时候，就是自己不受环境影响，他也要能够去怎样慈悲心发出来。那这就是我们在修行的人，不是只是说自己开悟好了之后就没事了，这时候才是真正修行的开始，才是真正修行的开始。也就是我们初发心的菩萨呢，所要学习的怎么升起慈悲心，跟人去做互动。
So, 师父 often encourage us that he said, you have things to do, he has things to do, everyone has things to do, but I have nothing to do. But while I have nothing to do, I must help everyone that has things to do, try to help them to accomplish their tasks. So here, what does he mean? The things to do,The people feel like there are things on their mind, they need to get it done. Those things are actually attachments, because people attach to their goals, their affairs. That's why they feel like they have a lot of things to do. For Shifu, he has no attachment. That's what he meant, I have nothing to do. But although Shifu is not affected by outside environment, is not affected by, not attached to anything, it doesn't mean he will just stand there and not helping. He actually will help. He actually will give rise to compassion for people who are not enlightened, who are still attached to various worldly affairs. He will help them to accomplish them, to help them to accomplish their goals and see what he can do for others. So, at this stage, after you gain a glimpse of the true nature, this is not the end of the practice. Instead, this is actually the beginning of the true practice. After you've seen the ox, it's a time that you practice how to give rise to compassion and how to help others while you are not affected anymore.
这是第四章土德牛，在第五章是木牛。我们先看颂文的部分。颂文的部分是说：边所时时不离身，恐依众不入尘埃。相降木德存何也？积所无益自足人。
So that was the fourth picture. Next one is the fifth picture, is herding the ox. The verses goes, Never let yourself be separated from the whip and the tether, lest she would wander away into a world of defilement. When she is properly tendered, she grows pure and docile. Even without chain, nothing binding, she will by herself follow you.
在这张土和颂文里面呢，他有提到鞭和索哈、哦。那索呢是绳索、缰索，也就是在中国的牛啊，它是要切打什么鼻环，好、哦，在鼻子这边要打一个环，那让怎样牵一条绳子啊？牧童呢，他。要控制它这条牛的时候，它就会拉那条绳子，让牛怎么样？不去。如果它要往别的地方走的时候，它就拉一拉，哦、提醒着牛。它会带一条鞭子。如果真的拉牛怎么拉不回来，它就会拿这只鞭子怎么去轻轻的拍这条牛，提醒它哦。 它就像什么呢？像我们修行的人要得智慧，他前面一定要持戒、修禅定才能得智慧。所以鞭这条拿在这边要提醒牛，这个是什么呢？是戒律。好，啊，牵在牵这条牛的绳子，牵着它的是什么？禅定的功夫，是禅定的功夫。可能在美国，因为牛不像在中国，牛是拿来耕田的，在美国是可能是用马，对不对？早期应该是用马嘛，或是我们看到，如果这边有人骑过马，应该知道。同样，如果骑马人，他也是，我是看电影才知道的哈，所以我讲看看，在美国这边的人，你们看看对不对哈？你先翻译好
了。So in the fifth picture describes a situation that the ox herder has two tools. One is a whip, the other is a rein or a strap, which in China people will put a ring in the nose of the ox and then tie that ring to a strap. So when they try to control the ox or lead it to certain direction, the first tool you could use is just pull the strap to lead the ox into the direction you want to go. And if it still doesn't work, then you can apply the whip gently and to let the ox follow you. So here, the whip actually can make analogies to precepts. We need to keep precepts tightly. And the strap tied to the ring of the nose of the ox could be analogous to samadhi, the power of samadhi. So with precepts and the samadhi, the power of samadhi, one can we can control and tame the ox. Well, I don't know how, I understand only in China we use ox to work in the crop fields. And in the Western world, people probably use horse. I'm not sure because I only see on TV that people using horses or riding horses.
在美国，可能像西部他们需要，或者是在早期应该芝加哥那边是有赶牛，他一个牛脊市场哈，他们负责就是这些牛仔他骑马要赶牛去做贸易交易的时候，他们一样也是应该骑马嘛，所以他要先套上马背上套上马鞍就坐在马上面，要在马的头上挂上那缰绳，才能够控制马的方向。再就是，如果他们要让马跑得快，他们穿靴子之后，就鞋子，靴子上面，因为脚跟上面会装上什么？马刺，是不是？好，所以这个马刺它就像我们的什么鞭子？好，我不知道那个会不会伤害到马哈，因为它那个看起来是有刺，就是如果双脚就往马的怎样身体肚子那边一夹，可能会怎样让马刺动它，所以让它跑比较快，好，也是类似，可能类似我们所讲的牛鞭要去鞭策牛用的啊，可能在美国这边西部的牛仔，他们不管是要赶马群还是赶牛群的时候，同样的他也是要一条什么缰绳控制方向，好，让马可以乖乖听话，哪时候应该要向左，哪时候向右，哪时候要停止，好，还有就是如果当马可能要让它跑比较快要鞭策它的时候，可能就是靴子上的这个马刺，我是看电影的，所以我不知道到底对不对，那这边如果在美国的菩萨可能会比较清楚知道。
So I don't know. I mean, in the Western world, in the West, like cowboys, when they ride a horse and lead all the cows, herd the cows going to one direction. They also, well, for example, for them, in order to control the horse, they also have a strap, ropes around the horse neck to strap to control the direction of the horse going. And instead of having a whip, I've seen it on TV or in a movie. I'm not sure if this is correct, but they will use their boots. Their boots have some spurs. So there's some spurs in their boots? Or? Yeah. Yes, exactly. So there were some spurs on their boots, on their boots, so they could tighten up their legs, and then the horse will get stimulated and run faster. Yeah.
好，那这时候呢，一个修行者呢，我们说讲戒律哈，一般讲戒好像是一条一条的规定哈。那这个规定呢，它不是，就是如果一般讲法律条文或是戒律，它就是规范的死死的，什么不能做，这个不能做，那个不能做哈。那实际上的戒律呢，佛陀他在自戒的时候是，当比丘如果做一件事情，做这件事情呢是会让其他大众，就是其他人，可能生活的这附近的人，他会怎么样呢？会去稽嫌，所以稽嫌就说：“哎，你们怎么这样做呢？”所以他是站在一个立场来看，他是不是符合这个地方的，一个是风俗、道德，符合道德、符合这边的风俗来制定的，来制定的。嗯，啊，他并不是真的去规范说。很死说你这个就是完全不能做，而是他当时是为了这个地区的。那除了几条比较重的戒啊，那个重戒是为什么呢？它是不让我们的习气去跟外境，我们刚刚提到齁，我们自己本身还有比较维系的习气，跟外境所相应的时候我们去犯了，所以这个戒律它是在我们日常生活当中跟我们息息相关的。那一个出家人如果懂得戒律的时候，当我们跟外境，当我们跟外境在做互动的时候，就是面对外面的环境或跟人在互动的时候，我们自己内心如果哪个烦恼现前，就习气出来的时候，他不会向外去造作。所谓造作什么呢？内心知道之后，他不会发动我们的身业和意业，身业和语业，就与人互动的时候不会向外去发表出来。所以它是保护住着我们的。啊，如果当一个人的心是够细的时候，而且他也懂得戒律的时候，很自然的这个力量就会出现。那这个力量会出现是因为什么呢？能够保持这么维系是什么样子的原因呢？是因为定的功夫够，因为定的功夫够，所以它两个其实息息相关的。所以有些人说，是不是指持戒的人他是不是指死守的戒条？他其实要先懂得这条戒律它本身是怎么样子自戒因缘，他很清楚知道还有在哪个状况底下他是能够开源，就是能够许可我们。有时候可能一些比较特殊的状况，可能因为生病了或是在外面那没办法遵守的时候，有哪个方便，可是他要不失去本来自戒的一个因缘，也就是不让人产生讥嫌的，就让人产生去指责说，你们佛教徒就是这样子啊，出家人就是这样子啊，他是在避免这样子的一个原因，所以佛陀才制这条戒。那戒它能够有力量，是因为我们自己本身平常我们自己的内心就是能够在一个稳定的状况的时候，戒的力量它就会很自然的就会出来出现保护着我们。所以戒和定两个是相辅相成的。好，如果一个修定人他不懂得戒律，他会不会犯戒？他会的。好，他还是会的，因为他不懂得怎么样子日常生活中应该要有的生活 模式。所以一个人如果躲在深山里头自己修行，跟人都不互动，他是有问题的，他是有问题的。
So here, precepts, regulations. Buddha laid out a lot of numerous precepts, regulations, rules for monastics. On appearance, on the surface, it looks like there are a lot to apply. But actually, a lot of precepts or regulations are responding to the custom and social values at one particular time or one particular society. But there are other more serious precepts, the other types of precepts. They are trying to help to guard the practitioners, especially when their subtle thoughts, a subtle predisposition come into contact with the outside environment, when the vexations appear in their minds, relying on the power of precepts, they won't develop further at that time. They will refrain from themselves. That vexation which appeared in their minds won't further develop into speech or bodily action. Why the precept has such power is also because they have certain power of samadhi at the same time. The power of samadhi is strong enough to maintain a stable mind. That's how their mind can always be aware of subtle disturbance to their mind. The subtle vexations arises, and then they can be aware of it. They can apply the precepts. So the power of precept and the power of samadhi actually go hand in hand. That's why a practitioner need both precepts and samadhi. And if the practitioner always practice in the deep mountains, and it is problematic.
好，我们看第六张。第六张图是骑牛归家。宋文是说什么呢？宋文说骑牛、我遇到两个字不会念了。骑牛应该是脱离欲还家。羌笛声声送晚霞，一拍一歌无限意，知音何必古纯雅。
So the sixth picture, which is the next one, is riding the ox home. The verses goes like, riding the ox, he leisurely went his way home. Enveloped in the evening mist, how tunefully the flute vanishes away. Singing a ditty beating time, his heart is filled with a joy indescribable. That is, he is now one of those who know need it be told.
这时候我们看到这张图，从前面一开始听到有修行的方法，再是找一位好老师跟他修行，而且也如实的修行，慢慢的我们调伏了自己的习气，也懂得怎么在日常生活当中用功。也因为我们在老师的身边学习着，那这个老师，一个好老师呢，他会教导我们什么呢？刚前面第五章牧牛的部分，他告诉我们日常生活当中戒律和禅定这两个是怎么样子能够相辅相成的。也因为我们跟在老师的身边，所以能够学习着老师的平时的什么言行，他怎么样子待人接物，跟人的互动。他都老实的这样子修行，他可能跟在一个老师旁边一跟就是十年二十年，可能在他旁边就做侍者，做侍者他不是只是做很单纯的就是做侍者这件事情，就照顾老师的生活而已。那除了照顾老师的生活，这些日常起居生活之外呢，很重要一点就是观察老师是怎么样子过他每一天的，也就是我们讲的， 如果当有访客来，有访客来，啊，访客来的时候，可能会提出一些问题。这时候他就是站在旁边，怎么样做记录？哎，也借由着老师跟这些来拜访人的互动，可能请教，哎，有哪些问题？哦，他就在旁边这样学习着。所以即使他只是跟在老师旁边，他没有下山去，他也会知道怎么样。未来如果他要去弘化的时候，要去向外弘化的时候，他应该怎么样去跟人做互动。所以一个好的老师和好的学生，一个好的学生他是这时候他是懂得观察，一个好的老师呢也会提醒着学生，哎，刚刚这样互动过程中你学到什么，你学到什么。所以是同时是相辅相成的。
So in this stage, the practitioner has gone through all the way from the beginning that he was interested in the method, want to get enlightened, and then he find a good teacher and apply the correct method and apply the correct teachings to his practice in daily life and worked very hard, truthfully stick to the method, and then the practitioner will stay with the teacher. And even when he reaches the fifth stage, herding the ox, he would still stay with the teacher, and a good teacher will teach him how to apply the power of samadhi and precepts. And the practitioner, even he already see the ox, already see the true nature, he will continue to stay with the teacher, will stay with the master, probably serving as his attendant for many years, like 10 years, just to observe how his master interact with outside the world, interact with others. For example, he would simply observe how a master spend his day interacting with people, responding to visitors. And a good teacher will also remind the attendant or ask attendant, what have you learned when I interacted with that visitor? At that time, the practitioner still has a lot to learn and stays with the master.
那我们看到图是什么呢？这个木桶哦，我们本来上一张是说他要把他怎样拉着绳索，而且牛鞭要拿在手上面。应该提醒着牛，不过这时候呢，他绳索和牛鞭怎么样，他就是轻轻的挂在腰边就好，已经不需要再拿着要时时警惕了哈，啊，很自在的骑在牛背上面，要怎么样回家了，要回家了。那这时候他的身心状况是怎么样呢？他身心状况是已经是在一个很轻松自在的，一直那种内外统一的状况。这时候内外统一状况是，因为他很轻松自在，所以他把他的整个五根都打开去接受整个大自然，整个环境，身心跟环境已经统一的了。因此他这时候能够很自在的、很轻松的跟外境做互动，所以他所看到的一切都是在怎样？放光说法是美好的，所以无情也都会说法了。我们等一下跟大家介绍，在中国古代有位禅师，他透过无情说法达到见性开悟的故事。
So, this stage, the sixth picture stay describes that the practitioner, the ox herder, seated on the top of the ox and with the reins, a strap, laying loosely at his waist. He's no longer that tensed up. He's very relaxed, very at ease, with a carefree air. So that means after working hard on his body and the mind, he already reached a stage of he can open up his five sense organs to just let it naturally contact the outside environment while not need to worry to be affected by it. So at that point, everything seems wondrous, seems wonderful. Even insentient beings seems preaching Dharma. And I'm going to share with you a story about a famous master who actually got enlightened by pondering on the question of how insentient beings, objects can preach Dharma.
这故事是谁的故事呢？他是朝洞中很有名的一位祖师洞山良介禅师的故事哈。洞山良介禅师他在小时候，大概五六岁的时候哈，他就出家了。也不是说出家，是他就开始跟一位修行人开始修行了。有一天他师父念心经，念到无眼耳鼻舌身意，就是没有这我们讲这六根，还听到这句话的时候，他怎么样？赶快摸摸自己的脸，说没有什么眼睛耳朵鼻子，就是我们这个可以摸到这五根，他就赶快问他师父说，这什么意思啊？他师父一听到就说，这位小孩是什么，以后是会成大器的，他师父就把他介绍到另外一位禅师那边去正式出家。好，这是他小时候一开始第一次他有这样体验。后来他长大了以后呢，出家以后，他就听到有人在讨论无情说法这件事情。无情说法无情指的是什么呢？就是除了动物植物之外，那这些石头啊、山河大地啊，这些也都会说法。他听到之后就很好奇，他们怎么会说法呢？有一天他就听到龟山禅师，我们讲龟养宗吼是很有名的吼，就是这位龟山禅师，他不念尾，他是念龟吼。好，那他就是去拜访这些禅师，就问这些禅师说，无情说法是什么意思，请老和尚告诉我。观察就跟他讲说，你是从哪边听到这句话的？你听到这句话呢，其实我这边也有，也有，但是没有人可以听得到。意思就是说不跟他讲。好，那观察就又在问他啦，那到底什么才是呢？观察就跟他讲说，要用这个父母生给我的嘴巴呢，我说不出来。所以他还是没跟他讲。洞山良介禅师听完之后又在问他说，那到底有没有人像师父一样听到了也说不出来？是什么意思呢？因为他发现他跟龟山禅师两个人话不投机，所以他就在请教龟山禅师，还有没有其他人也听到跟师父您一样听到但是也是说不出来，就像刚刚师父讲的，我没有办法用父母生给的嘴巴去说出来。那龟山禅师就跟他介绍，你可以去另外一位禅师那边，哪位呢？也是我们中国禅宗有名的云门宗，去云门禅师那边。我等一下再跟大家讲他去跟云门禅师的故事。
So who is this famous master? You may have already have heard of this master, Master 洞山良介, his story, his enlightenment story. Master 洞山良介actually practiced at a very young age. When he started practice around 5 or 6 years old, he heard his master reciting the Heart Sutra, no eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. When he heard the line, he got very curious and confused because he immediately touched his eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind, and they are all there. So he wondered and asked the master, what does it mean that no eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind? And upon hearing his question, his first master realized that Master Dongshan might become somebody one day. So he introduced Master Dongshan Liangjie to another master, and under that master, Master Dongshan Liangjie became a monk. And one day, Master Dongshan Liangjie heard a discussion about insentient beings preaching Dharma. Insentient beings here refers to stones, mountains, rivers, objects, like in not sentient beings which has life, with like plants or animals. So upon hearing that insentient beings are able to preaching Dharma, Master Dongshan Liangjie got very curious, and he wondered how could it be. How come insentient beings can preach Dharma? So at that time, he asked Master Guishan, and Master Guishan responded, oh, where did you hear that? We actually have this saying too, but no one can hear that. So Master Dongshan Liangjie got even more curious and asked, what does it mean? Can you tell me? But Master Guishan was not going to tell him because he responded saying, a physical mouse born with parents cannot really tell you what this means. So at that point, Master Dongshan Liangjie knew that Master Guishan was not going to tell him. So he asked, okay, so other than you, is there anybody else who understand what it means? And then Master Guishan said, well, you can go to see Master Yunmen.
后来东山良介呢就到了云门禅师那边去，同样去了之后他也问这句话，他说无心说法是什么，老和尚你知不知道？云门禅师就跟他讲说，无情说法只有无情听得到。东山良介禅师就又在问了，他讲老和尚你听到了吗？老和尚这时候就跟他讲，云门禅师就跟他讲，如果我能够听得到的话，啊，你就听不到我说话了。什么意思呢？他说，如果当我在说话的时候，你还听不懂，那么你就跟什么这个无情是一样的。我们可以看到这些祖师大德们对话都怎么样，好像在鸡同鸭讲，或是讲一些我们牛头不对马嘴的话哦。
So, Dongshan Liangjie, at that time he was not a master yet, but he is going to be. He went to visit Master Yunmen, and still when he saw Yunmen, he asked the same question, what does it mean that insentient beings preaches Dharma? And Master Yunmen responded that insentient beings preaching Dharma, and that means only insentient beings can hear it. And then Master Dongshan Liangjie asked, then can you hear it? Are you able to hear it? Master Yunmen responded, if you can hear it, if I can hear it, you won't be, if I can hear it, you won't be able to hear what I'm talking. So what does that mean? That basically means because when I talk, use this physical mouth to talk to tell you, you still don't understand. So you're like insentient beings. So you can see the dialogues between Master Yunmen and Master Dongshan Liangjie. They are not really on the same page. They're not really responding to each other.
洞山南界禅师太发现他跟玉门禅师怎么样，不投机不投缘，所以他就问玉门禅师，跟他说那无形说法到底是出自于哪一部经典的？云门禅师就跟他讲，他是出自于弥陀经。弥陀经就阿弥陀经，我们在诵阿弥陀经的时候会诵到有一句法音宣流，对不对？一切都在说法，对不对？什么在说法？这些鸟啊或是树木吹过的时候，这些罗网啊，它都会发出声音，他说就是出自于这边的。后来洞山良介就要跟云门禅师，他在那边修行一段时间，就要跟云门禅师算告假，就要离开了。离开的时候呢，他那时候还没开悟哦，他还没开悟。他最后开悟是在哪边呢？应该在很多人听过哦。他有一天经过桥边，桥边的时候呢，他有点累，有点累，因为他走了一段路了，有点累，他就想要在桥边休息。休息的时候他要可能要洗洗脸，喝喝水的时候，他一照到水面，这时候水面应该是这个水面应该是蛮怎样，溪流应该是蛮清的，而且水流不会很急，他就看到自己的倒影。这时候一看到倒影的时候，他讲说这条曲和这个影不是他，他就是因为那个当下他了解到，原来当初他一直在问无情会不会说法是怎么一回事，所有的老和尚就是禅师都不跟他讲的原因是什么，他当下就开悟了。所以他也那时候体悟到什么样子才是叫真正所谓的无情说法。
So after the dialogue between Dongshan and Yunmen, Master Dongshan Liangjie realized they probably the course's conditions are not ripened yet. They don't have a good affinity. So he just asked Master Yunmen, where's the classic sutra? Where's sutra mentioned that insentient beings preaches Dharma? And Master Yunmen said it comes from the Amitabha Sutra. So in the Amitabha Sutra, there's a line saying all the birds, and when there's a breeze over trees or nets, everything is preaching Dharma. So this saying is from Amitabha Sutra. After that, Master Dongshan just left, and he was not enlightened at that point. And so he just went on and aimlessly and walked for a long time, and he rested near a river when he approaches a bridge, and that river was quite smooth. It was maybe a clear stream, so he saw a reflection of himself when he was taking a rest, and at that moment he got enlightened and suddenly realized why all these previous masters didn't tell him what it means.
所以无情说法呢，它是在说什么呢？它其实我们一种新的体验。那这新的体验它有分三个层次，第一个层次是自己所见到的一切，不管是环境还是人，都是清净的。可是不清净的、有问题、有烦恼的，是对方，是我们所看到那个人。所以他所见到都是清净的，可是有问题的是因为别人他虽然看到清净，可是因为是他让他不清净，原因是因为他有烦恼，所以让他不清净。所以这时候是怎样？还是有分别的。他分别什么呢？他把人会有清净这件事情和有烦恼这件事情两个是对立的。这是第一个层次。第二层次是他在往下之后，他把所有一切都视为是平等的。这个平等是怎么来的呢？大家都跟我一样，都是跟我一样的。所以他让大家都能够平等的这个状况是 投射在于我，好，而且他也相信大家如果跟我一样的时候，也是能够怎么样，是亲近的。所以他这时候他内心有慈悲心，有慈悲心在，因为他想要让大家怎样跟我一样，好，所以他这个第二层次，到第三层是什么呢？他把内心怎么样，这股慈悲心也向外，要让大家能够跟我一样，所以总共是三个层次。那这三个层次，它是不是一个阶段一个阶段一个阶段的？它不是，它是同时具备的。所以说，它并不是像我们可能用方法，或是有时候我们会觉得它是不是一个步骤一个步骤一个步骤来分成三个不同的，或是我可以是不是停在第二阶段，或是我先从一个一个来的？它不是。所以能够同时，就是他体会到无形说法的时候，是三个同时发生的，真是同时发生的。也是我们刚刚前面有讲到，师父经常讲说，你家有事，他家有事，我家没有事，那没有事人要帮助其他人去完成还没有完成的事情，就是把他那一件有事的事情把它完成。这是无情说法它背后的意思，也就是我们的心怎么样子在这跟人互动的时候是一种慈悲心跟人互动，而且我们自己内心也不会受到影响。那这个不受影响呢，就是我们刚前面讲的我们本身修行的什么戒这个部分有力量出来，而且我们自己本身有禅定的功夫，那我们慈悲心展现出来，有智慧去帮助别人，好，因为我们能够调伏自己的烦恼，有智慧，而且我们自己的悲心也向外，慈悲心也向外流露着，所以同时我们是悲智同时的。
So, what insentient beings speak Dharma means? Actually, this saying describes three levels of the mind state that Master Dongshan Liangji experienced. First level is that all things are pure and undefiled. What the Master have seen, have heard, have experienced, everything is pure and undefiled. And if there were vexations, there were things in opposition, that's because the vexations, not because our true nature. Our true nature sees everything as pure. And second level is that an enlightened being will view everything in equal. There's everything is inseparable from the observer. So at that time, the enlightened being will have great compassion for others. And the third level is how an enlightened person can help others to realize that, to achieve the enlightenment. So these three levels, these three stages are not sequential actually. They can be achieved simultaneously upon enlightenment. So it's just like what I talked about earlier when Shifu was saying, you have things to do, I have things, you have things to do, he has things to do, but I have nothing to do. But having nothing to do, I'm still going to help everyone to achieve their tasks. That means when your mind is at that stage, you're not affected by outside environment, you're not affected by vexations, because the power of precepts and samadhi. But at the same time, you already developed the compassion, and you can use the compassion and wisdom to help others to achieve their worldly affairs.
好，我们今天讲到骑牛归家，那等一下大家可能是搭车回家，但是不要忘记什么？我们今天讲到骑牛归家，把自己的，我们已经找到牛了哈，把这条牛带回去。好，今天谢谢大家。
So that's it for today, and we will stop at riding the ox home. When you go home, remember to bring your ox home as well.
大家有什么问题吗？
Do you have any questions?Comment.
That if I go, I can't make it a question. I made a statement.
Okay. 他这不是问题，他只是想说，师父说以前说无情说法，另一个原因就是，因为无情，每一样东西都在讲，无常，都在视线无常，所以他说这也是无情说法一个理解方式。
对，这边师父没这样讲，是因为在石牛图里面，他很特别，没有提到因缘法无缘的这件事情，就是因缘无情，就这种的无常视线的部分，所以师父就没有把这部分放进来，就是因缘法无常这种的观念，在这一次的禅修活动里头，告诉大家。
法师 was saying.In Shifu's talks, Shifu gave a talk on 10 Ox Hurting Pictures during a retreat for 3 days in Maine, in the state of Maine. And during his talk, he didn't mention the relationship to laws of cause and conditions and impermanence. Also because the 10 Ox Hurting Pictures didn't mention impermanence in the description. So that's the reason.